Come on. One more time. Let's give the Lord the biggest shout in this place. Come on. If God has been good to you, like He's been good to me, Father, we say thank you. Hallelujah. High five your neighbor and tell him God is alive. High five your other neighbor and tell him you look good. Woo! We serve a faithful God. You may be seated. Amen, 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 amen. It's so good to see all of you again. I think the last time I saw you was in October last year. It's been too long. It's been too long. I want to thank the leadership of B Church, the elders, the lead teams, and for everyone that supports and lifts up the vision of this house. I want to thank you for affording me the privilege to stand before you. Can we just celebrate the leaders of this house that make the vision happen? Amen, 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 amen. And to every volunteer that avails themselves to partner with the vision and make the vision become a reality, come on, let's just celebrate every volunteer. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And to the household of faith, to everyone that's come this morning, give yourselves a round of applause. God bless you. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for coming to hear the word of the Lord. I do have the word of the Lord in my mouth, and we're going to get into the word of the Lord in a minute. But I'm going to ask Apostle Vilma and Prophetess Natasha to stand, and we're going to celebrate them. Come on, let's just celebrate them. Let's just honor them. To do what they do is not easy. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. So we want to honor you. We want to celebrate you. We want to say thank you for your labor and thank you for your sacrifice. It doesn't go unnoticed. Amen. And to my wife that's watching via live stream, God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to do what I do. I love you and thank you for your support. And to the My Church family, God bless you. To every son and daughter around the world that's watching, that may be watching, God bless you. And thank you for your time. And to every friend, family that knows me personally, God bless you. Thank you for coming today. I truly appreciate your time. And I promise you I'm not going to keep you long this morning. And I'm not responsible for what God does after the teaching of the word. That's entirely up to God. Take that up with God, okay? Amen. But I do believe I have the word of the Lord in my mouth, especially for B Church. How many of you are in expectation for the word of the Lord? The Bible says in Psalm 33 and verse 4, the Bible says, "For the word of the Lord is right." I'll say that again. For the word of the Lord is right. In other words, whatever you are contending with, whatever you are dealing with, whatever you are faced with, whatever the situation is, the word of God is still applicable. Why? Because when we look through the aeons of time, when we look through the different dispensations of time, the word of God has been an anchor. The word of God has anchored this destinies. The word of God has anchored kingdoms. The word of God has stood the test of time. So what I'm coming to give you today is something that has stood the test of time that will help you stand the test of time. Amen? Are you with me? Let us pray. Father, we thank you that the entrance of your word, it brings light and it brings understanding. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you put a watchman at my mouth. Let me only speak the thus saith the Lord, and the thus saith the Lord alone. Father, I thank you that the elasticity of our brain would increase to retain impartation and information so that this word can bear fruit in the lives of this ministry. Father, I thank you that this fruit will remain I thank you that this fruit will cause more fruit to grow. And Father, I thank you even as you sent me on assignment here. I thank you, Father God, that we are about to see the greatest move of God that we've been preparing and planning for. And I thank you, Father God, even as we stand on the precipice of something new, a new dispensation for this ministry, a new era for this ministry. Father God, we invoke the promises of God. And Father, we thank you that heaven will begin to move on behalf of this ministry. I thank you, God, that even over the next 10 years, we prophesy into the destiny and into the womb of this ministry. And Father, we catapult this ministry into its prophetic destiny. Father, we thank you that the word of the Lord will prevail. And I thank you, Father God, and it came to pass, will be the testimony of Peter Church. And it came to pass, and it came to pass, and it came to pass, and it came to pass. Father, I thank you that you send help into the sanctuary. I thank you, mighty God, that you will begin to move what needs to be moved, and you'll begin to shift what needs to be shifted. I thank you, mighty God, for a new sound that will come up even out of this ministry. I thank you, mighty God, that the word of the Lord will begin to challenge what needs to be challenged, will begin to shift what needs to be shifted. I thank you, mighty God, that your grace will begin to enable. I thank you that the mercy of God will begin to triumph over judgment. I thank you, mighty God, that the word of the Lord will come forth in a demonstration of power, and that you will confirm your word with signs, with wonders, and with miracles. Let there be a demonstration of your kingdom. Let there be a demonstration of the acts of the apostle. Let there be a demonstration of what you promised the Lord, what you promised this house. I thank you, and I bring you into remembrance of what you said over this house. And Father, we thank you that your word will begin to accomplish what it's sent out to do. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will prevail. I thank you for the prevailing of the word of the Lord from Peter Church. I thank you that what's been held up will be released. What's been delayed will no longer be delayed. I thank you for opportune time. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, this is the opportune time. Get ready, because I'm about to blow your mind. Get ready, because I'm about to do what I promised to do. Hallelujah. So Father, we thank you that the prophetic wind will begin to blow even more stronger. I thank you for the apostolic trust will begin to move even stronger. I thank you, Father God, that even as we stand on the precipice of something new, something exciting, something invigorating, I thank you that you give us the tenacity not to look back, not to turn back, but to go forward. Forward we must go. Forward we must go. Forward we must go. Forward, and I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, forward we must go. We're not going back. We're not turning back. We're not looking back. We are moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Give the Lord a clap offering, if you would. What's interesting about God is that God is always on the move. And unfortunately, as human beings, and I've seen it in the West, and I've seen it all over the world, is that we like our comforts. We like what's comfortable. We like what's traditional. We like what we like. And there's nothing wrong with that, because God has designed us to like what we like. Hello. But there comes moments in God, and it's not all the time, but there come strategic times in God where God places a demand, and God demands that you sacrifice in order for you to get to the next place. The next place in God never comes outside of this thing called sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice. And when you look at sacrifice for those of us who own business, whenever you want to pivot, whenever you want to go to the next level of income, whenever you want to branch out and create your businesses, not only to move in one location but multiple locations, it demands a sacrifice, and sometimes that sacrifice is difficult because we like what we like. But God in this season and in this time is not calling us to move in what we like, but he's calling us to sacrifice to get to the other side. Be church, God is calling you to the other side. Did you hear what I said? Be church. God is calling you to get to the other side. But to get to the other side demands sacrifice. Are you with me? Today I want to talk about what's promised is not automatically given. Let me say that again. What's promised is not automatically given. What's promised has to be taken. And for some of you, there are things in the realm of the spirit, and there are things in the business world, and there are things that God has called you, or rather that God has promised you, and it's just waiting for you to take it. The word take is not a passive word. You see, what happens, and we've been fed a lie in the body of Christ, is that everything is going to happen just, and everything is going to fall into place. There are moments where things fall into place. But when you want to take territory, and when you want to take regions, and when you want to take cities, cities have to be taken. God has promised this couple that Pretoria belongs to them. And now because Pretoria belongs to them, guess what? They are going to face a principality, a power that is going to resist them on every front. And sometimes that resistance comes from the people closest to us. Sometimes it's in marriage. But we have to understand that God has called us to take territory. Are you with me? One of the ways in which you take territory is God issues a covenant. You can never take territory unless covenant is invoked. Did you hear what I just said? All through the Old Testament, God promises, I'm making a covenant with you and I'm giving you this land this day for you and your descendants. So connected to land, space, and time is this word called covenant. Are you with me? What is covenant? Covenants are one of the most important themes in the Bible. Covenant is primarily God's redemptive plan to restore humanity to its divine calling. So that means now, because there's a covenant that God has initiated with Apostle Vilma and Prophetess Natasha and B Church to restore Pretoria back to its divine calling. Now, I'm not saying the restoration plan of God is primarily connected to them. No, we are not that vain. We understand that we have a part to play in the grand scheme of things. The part that we have to play is how God initiates a covenant with them. You see, the callings of God is not up to man. God chooses who he calls. And it's our obligation to get behind who God calls. Are you with me? All right. So that is actually the simplest form of the word covenant. Covenant is the key to God's redemptive plan to restore humanity back to its divine calling. But the English dictionary, it describes covenant as this. Covenant is a relationship between two partners who make binding promises one to another to reach a common goal. So in other words, there are keys that are attached to covenant. Most noticeably, you find in the book of Proverbs, it says, he who finds a wife. You guys did not have your breakfast this morning. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. No, you can't just stay by a good thing. What happens after you find a good thing? It becomes better. But you obtain what? What we tend to forget, what's connected to covenant, is favor. So when things are not working favorably
on our behalf, we need to look at what's opposing us. Because there's meant to be covenant. There's meant to be favor. Why? Because covenant is to reach a common goal. What is the intention of God for B Church? And by the way, you have the greatest church in Pretoria. The people just don't know it yet. And this is why I'm coming to push you along, so that you can tell the world out there that you have the greatest church in Pretoria. That's like 100 of you, praise God, but I'm looking for the 500. Come on, do you agree with me that you have the greatest church in Pretoria? You got to make confession to that until you start believing it. Are you with me? But that's for another day. The Old Testament now describes covenant as the Hebrew word berith, B-E-R-I-Y-T-H. It means a compact made between two pieces of flesh. And we see this in the context of Jesus Christ. When Jesus hung on the cross and when they pierced his side, he says, it is finished. Why is it finished? The law that separated, or the sin that separated man from God, is no longer. The curtain has been rent in two. So in other words, now there's a covenant between God and man. Are you with me? But early church fathers define covenant as this. Covenant we see in the most practical form between men. When you see covenant between men, this is normally in the context of an alliance. You see, this is why God never called us to walk alone. God, this is why the Bible says, I've set the lonely in family. We were never designed to operate outside of family. Uh-oh. And this is why when we look at prophets who function outside of the context and the construct of family in the New Testament, or any fivefold ministry gift that operates outside of the context of family, it means there's no covenant connected to them. Ooh, Jesus. That's for another day. So you find covenant, when it's seen between men, is also seen in the context of a king, most noticeably the kingdom of the, or the United Kingdom of Great Britain. You see the ordinance or the constitution that governs the king and the people who live in the United Kingdom. Are you with me? So you see there's a covenant that takes place. There's an agreement. There's a pledge. My agreement, my alliance, and my pledge to Apostle Wilmer demands that I come to be church at this season of their life. Why? Because covenant speaks. You must understand that covenant demands, but it also supplies. I'm going somewhere with this, don't worry. So you find covenant is seen between men, but it's also seen between God and man. Every covenant has signs, and every covenant has pledges. So in other words, there is a pledge that God has given the house of B Church. There's a pledge, not from me, but from God. Are you with me? Now, because this is initiated by God himself, this is not initiated by Apostle Wilmer. And you will understand when you look throughout the Old Testament, you'll find that whenever God wanted to move a nation, whenever God wanted to do something specific in a city, he always initiated covenant. There was always a covenant. Trace it back to a covenant. So what is a covenant? A covenant is a divine constitution. How many of you know what the constitution of the kingdom is? The constitution of the kingdom is found in Matthew chapter 16, from verse 13 all the way to 20. Who do men say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Here comes the constitution. And whatever, in fact it says, and I will build. I can't hear you. And I will. And then what? And the gates of. So. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Mm-hmm. And whatever you bind where will be. And whatever you loose will be loosed where. This is your constitution. This is, what is a constitution? A constitution is your right of living. Your kingdom constitution, constitutional right is whatever you deem lawful is lawful. Whatever you don't deem lawful is not lawful. It cannot and it must not move. Why? Because you have a covenant. So because you have a covenant, God is bound to that covenant. This is why when we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, we find that it's the Old Covenant and it's the New Covenant. So the Word of God is a covenant manual for you. It's a pledge. It's a treaty. It's a constitution. Are you following me? In the New Testament, you find that there are two words for the word covenant. Number one, diateke, and number two, sanctitemai. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, no, our English is not so English today. But diateke, D-I-A-T-H-E-K-E. Diateke means an arrangement, a testament, or a will. My God. Now let's clarify this a bit further. Diateke means the last testament and will. Interesting. That when a father lays on his deathbed, the last thing he gives to his children is what? Last testament and? And it's the children who are now engaged and responsible to advance the last testament and will. So who died for you? So the death of Jesus was God's last testament and will for you and for me. That gives us the responsibility now not to rest. Not to rest until we see the fulfillment of what God has promised. I've come to prophesy to you today, and I've come to declare today that you will not rest until you see the fulfillment of what God promised you, and until you see the fulfillment of what God promised this house. Are you with me? So the last testament and will is an arrangement made by one who has the power and the other to accept the responsibility. So the day you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you accepted that covenant and you took on the responsibility now to advance the last testament, will and rights of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Are you following me? So we have a responsibility, B Church. We have a responsibility now to move the agenda and the covenant of this house forward. We have a responsibility now to sacrifice, because you can never go to the next level until you're willing to sacrifice what you didn't want to sacrifice previously. You don't like it, I don't like it. When God calls you to stretch, and it's like, I'm not ready to stretch. I'm not ready to make room. You see, in London at my church, we often make a statement and we often share this and we say, make room for one more person in your life. Be church, make room for what God is about to do in this next season and in this next chapter of this ministry. Why? Because it's connected to covenant. The leaders of this ministry didn't one day wake up with a great idea. No. God spoke to them. God confirmed it through many prophetic words. And now we have to believe God. Despite the odds, despite the opposition, despite the naysayers, despite what the opposition looks like, we got to believe God. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Now, the other word, santitamai, means to put together. Interesting. So, God now calls Apostle Wilma, initiates a covenant with him. The second part of the word covenant now is to place together and to put together. So the first part of it now, my God, was God initiating covenant, giving him the mandate, the mission, the vision, the instruction of what to do. The second part now, he brings you and I together and he says, now I'm putting you part of it. Are you with me? Is that making sense? The reason why God does that is because now that actually confirms what he said. Jesus. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 12 and 1. For all my theologians and the ones who said, I haven't opened the Bible yet, caught you, I opened it. If you got to say, I got it, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Look what it says. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Interesting. And of course, when you look at the backdrop and the background to Genesis chapter 12, you'll find that there's a journey that was started with Abraham's father. This journey that was started with Abraham's father was to go to a place. And how many of you know that in life sometimes trauma, calamity, disappointment happens? Here we see the man Abraham called to pick up where his father left. It wasn't the call. Early church fathers and theologians, and when you read the Talmud, the Jewish Talmud is actually a historical account of the first five books of the Bible. You find that the Jewish Talmud teaches us and tells us that it wasn't actually Abram's responsibility to leave his father's house, but to actually continue the journey that was started in his father. Are you following me? So Abraham continued the journey that was started in your father. Why did Abraham's father stop? And these are some of the challenges we face. Opposition. Resistance. Disappointment. It didn't happen in the time span that I wanted it to happen. The business deal fell through in the last minute, and the hopes of our community were hanging on this business deal. My marriage didn't work. I've got quite a few failed marriages. I'm a disappointment. I'm a failure. And what happens, you see, Abraham's brother, Lot's father, had died. And because Lot's father had died, the trauma of losing a partner, a covenant partner with you, disappointed him. And you find that when trauma comes in, trauma in the form of disappointment, when disappointment comes in, one of the components of attack is to halt mobility, is to stop you. But I've come to prophesy to our people that you're not going to stop. I've come to prophesy to some people here that you're not going to stop because you've been disappointed. You're not going to stop because it seems like a failure. You're not going to stop because you tried everything you can try. Get up again and keep going. Get up again, be church, and keep trying. Because God is calling you to sacrifice again. Are you with me? So God now is initiating a covenant with Abraham and his offspring. My God. The intention and the plan of God was never to change because of seasons. And unfortunately, in the body of Christ and with people around the world, we change because of situations. We move because of pain. We get disappointed, and that disappointment speaks louder than the word of God. This is why I introduced the talk from the beginning. For the word of the Lord is right. It will anchor you in disappointment. It will anchor you in failure. It will anchor you when you've been abandoned. It will anchor you in every season of your life. Are you with me? So God didn't change his mind. When the seasons for Abraham were different to the place where the promise came, he didn't change his mind. Are you with me? But what we see with Abraham is a pilgrimage, a continual journey to walk with God. Come on, be a church. We're going to pilgrim with God. For some of you, that pilgrim means leaving some things behind. For some of you, that pilgrim means sowing what you haven't been able to sow before. For some of you, that pilgrim is to forgive what you've never been able to forgive before. Are you following me? So pilgrim means to leave something and to go on to something. Are you with me? So be church, God is calling you to leave some things behind. Oh my God, I just feel this strongly in my spirit. Forget about yesterday. Whilst we remember the landmarks that God is taking us on, the places of victory, the places that have been awesome, we don't stay stuck there. We have to journey with God. Are you with me? So be church, we have to journey with God. We have to journey with God. I know it's difficult. I know sometimes our confidence gets knocked. I know sometimes it's a picky art. I know sometimes it's a picky painful. I know sometimes I don't have it. I know sometimes it's I know all of these things, but in that place, it's the time to thank God for opportunity. It's the time to thank God for the ability to move with God. Are you with me? We are not giving up. One of the powerful things about what God spoke to us at the beginning of the year is that the next decade is a decade to occupy. You know, when you look at occupy, occupy means I must do business. Occupy means I must govern. Occupy means I must get the skill I need to actually govern this place. We are not going to let go of what God promised us. Come on, I almost called you my church. Come on, be church. Kom nou. Ons gaan nie opgee nie. Dat die tyd om op te gee nie. Ons moet aangaan. Sê vir jou neighbor, jy moet aangaan. In die Here. You see the pilgrimage, you see the journey that was started with Abraham, but we also see the same journey in the son Isaac, and you see the same journey in the son Jacob. You see it. You see the tribes of Israel on the same journey. What was started with Abraham, we see it in Israel. We see it in David. We see it in Solomon. We see it in Daniel, and we see it in Isaiah, and we see it in the prophets. We see all of them sacrificing to go on this journey. Are you ready to sacrifice? Come on, be church. All 500 of you, are you ready to sacrifice with me? I'm ready to sacrifice. Are you ready to sacrifice? Are you ready to go the way God wants you to go? Okay, that's 100 of you. I need the other 400 of you to agree with me. Do you agree with me? It's time to sacrifice. Am I talking to myself, or am I talking to the greatest church in Pretoria? Are you the greatest church in Pretoria? That means now there's a journey required for us to get to greatness. Are you with me? Are you following me? How many of you are ready to go on the journey of greatness, P Church? Come on, somebody. Come on, Adrian. Are you ready to go on that journey, Adrian? Andre, are you ready to go on that journey?
My God, Congress to bring, are you ready to go on that journey? To the rest of the household of faith, are you ready to go on that journey? Come on, somebody. Likewise, you and I are on a journey to fulfill the testament of the one who called you. You and I on a journey. I love what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 14. It talks about the children of Israel crying out to God because it never happened the way they wanted it to happen. It didn't happen that way. And Moses comes before God crying and he says, God, I don't know how to comfort these people. I don't know what to say to these people. Have you ever been in that place where you are faced in business and there are issues within the business and you don't know how to answer those issues? Or am I the only one? Or does it only happen with the Pommies in London? It doesn't happen here. You know, in South Africa, great things happen here. But have you ever been in a place where you don't know whether you're coming or going, but you show up anyway? Because you must understand that everything is going to change in the timings and in the seasons of God. Everything is not meant to remain stuck forever. Why? Because Solomon encourages you and he encourages me to everything under the sun, there is a season. So no matter what season you are contending with, you're faced with, this season has to change. Are you with me? And Moses goes to God and Moses says, God, I don't know what to do with these people. They are driving me crazy. And the Lord says, why are you and the people crying? Tell the people to stop crying. Get up and go forward. So come to declare to Bay Church, it's time to get up and go. It's time to get up and go. It's time to get up and go. Go forward. You must understand that nothing is ever built on the back of convenience. You build nothing if it's always convenient for you. Everything demands a sacrifice. Are you following me? But the covenant was given to, now I can't see you. The covenant was given to Abraham. The initial covenant was given to Abraham. The fulfillment of that covenant is only seen with Joshua. Hey, I want to encourage somebody today. Just because it seems like it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean God is not in it. Oh my God. Because we have learned something from people who don't actually care about you, that you ought to have what you ought to have now. Listen, they know what you need right now. And this is why Habakkuk says, though the vision tarry, wait for it. For at the appointed time, it will speak and it will not lie. That tells me that there are some storms you need to weather. That tells me that there are some places that we have to walk through. But the vision will not lie. Be church, your vision will not lie. Are you with me? I'm nearly done. I hope you're encouraged. You see, the call of Joshua, we find in Numbers chapter 27 and verse 18. Check this out. The Bible says, and the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom the Spirit of the Lord is, and lay your hand upon him. Verse 19, set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight, ordination, and you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the children of Israel may be obedient. The call of Joshua was different to the call of Moses.
The call of Joshua now is to take the people out of the wilderness into their promised land. So what God is doing with B Church in this season is taking you from a place into your promise. This is why the fight has been so intense. This is why the opposition has been so intense. This is why it seems like nothing seems to be going our way. In business, in marriage, in everything. But I've come to encourage you. You are exactly where God needs you to be. You are in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing. Are you with me? So the call of Joshua was to take a people who were stuck in a place, bring them into their promise. It's interesting. Theologians believe from when the covenant or when the promise was initiated to the actual occupation of that promise from Abraham to Joshua, some believe was 390 to 450 years. And we are impatient for a year. And we are impatient for 5 years. And we are impatient for 10 years. And we are impatient. Listen. What God is doing with you is so unique. It's so intentional. It's so purposeful that it's going to speak generationally. You are not just building something for here and now. You are building something so deep. Before you can go wide, you have to go deep. Pastor Wilma knows something about engineering and about building. The higher the skyscraper, the deeper the foundation needs to be. So what has God been doing with you? Digging deep. Digging deep. And how many of you know when you dig deep, it doesn't always look good? It's a bit messy. You have to put your hard hat on. You have to put your iron tips on. You have to put your vest on. You have to put the right clothes on. But I heard the Holy Spirit, and this is why I came. The foundation phase is finished. The foundation phase is finished. How many of you know that based on the depth of your foundation, and when you pour concrete, does it not take long for that concrete to dry? So what's been happening over the last 2 years, God has been grinding the concrete so you can build. So now it's time to build. But you cannot build if you don't have space to build. If you don't have land to occupy. So this is why I came. To initiate something in the realm of the Spirit that's going to cause you to occupy and occupy quickly. Why? Because the opportune time has come. The foundation is set. And until that foundation is set, we cannot move to the left, we cannot move to the right. And you'll always find that it's always somebody who's qualified to come and look at the foundation. And to come and establish and to actually discern and to look accurately, are there any bubbles in the cement? Because if there are bubbles in their concrete, you cannot build. That means you're going to have to re-dig and you're going to have to remove their concrete, and that's a whole other story for another day. But we are done. The concrete is laid, Apostle. Apostle, stand. I want to prophesy, hold hands, I want to prophesy to you. As I walked in, I began to discern the health of the church. And this is what the Lord has been dealing with you regarding this season or the last 2 years that you've gone on this journey with. It has been more about the health and the foundation of this ministry. And yet the Spirit of the Lord say to you, the foundation is laid, the foundation is set, and the health of the church is at a place now where expansion, true expansion can come. I've come to announce to you that your days of expansion have come, and that the days of toil digging and digging and probing and digging and digging and probing and digging and digging and probing and making sure that everything is in place and making sure that everything is ordered and making sure that everything falls into place the way it ought to. That is all foundational stuff. And I hear the Lord say to you, well done. You've been faithful with what I've entrusted to you. You've stewarded what I've entrusted to you very well. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord say to you, I come with my reward in my hand. And not many days from now, you'll begin to see even the reward begin to open up. And the Lord says, look up for your redemption, draw nigh. And your redemption, you know what I'm referring to. You know exactly what I'm referring to. So the Lord says, even like Abraham, look. As far as your eyes can see, as far as your eyes can see, I'm going to give you what I promised you. And I see my God, my God, my God, my God. And it won't be long. It won't be long. It won't be long. You've been faithful. You see, the Bible says, how can I entrust you with true riches of your own when you haven't been faithful with another man's? And you've been faithful with another man's. Oh, Jesus. Does anyone have a key for me? Can somebody give me a key? Yes. Janine, give me a key. Preferably, yeah. Give me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord say to you, I'm giving you your own keys. Not another man's keys. Your own keys. Because you've looked after another man's like your own. It was a test. It was a test. It was a test. It has been a test. And God has been testing your heart, pruning your heart. And now the Lord says, take this key, open both your hands, put your hands into his other hands. And even as the Lord releases his keys to you, not many days from now, there will be opportunity upon opportunity, opportunities to come. The Lord says, because you've been faithful. And the Lord says, I always reward faithfulness. I always reward faithfulness. And the Lord says, strength is even coming. And the Lord says, you're going to look to the left and you're going to look to the right and you're going to see so much, so much. For these are days of great harvest. And this is also a day. A new era has begun, even for this ministry. A new era. So get ready, because you're about to walk into what God has promised you. Can we stand? I'm done teaching. Sabrina and Gandhi, come here. I'm going to say prophetic integrity. This is prophetic integrity because Gandhi and myself had a conversation in the car. That's how I knew I was in the spirit based on what I needed to teach, because he said the two of you had a conversation about the next level and the next level of sacrifice. And you heard God accurately, you heard God correctly. And the Lord is calling the two of you to sacrifice to a place that's even uncomfortable. Because of what God wants to bring into your sphere of influence, because of what this ministry needs going forward. So you were just talking about sacrifice. The reason for that is because of where God is taking this ministry to. God is going to give you grace. And God is going to speak to the both of you regarding what needs to happen in whatever that sacrifice means. I'm not saying it's only money, but I'm saying it's more than just money. And you're going to see. How do I say this? Their consortiums that go and buy businesses, your consortium that buy football clubs, rugby clubs, major franchises. But I see God actually giving you an idea. that's linked to the sacrifice. The day you do what God asks you to do, not what man tells you to do, what God requires of the two of you to do, you will see not many days after that, you will see God literally give you an opportunity at a table. Now hear me very carefully. I'm not saying you're going to give to get. No. I'm saying your obedience to what God requires of you is going to unlock the next level of breakthrough business for you, more specifically business for you. And I see you being invited into a consortium. And it's going to blow your mind how this invitation is going to come. And the dividends and the equity that's going to come from this consortium is going to blow your mind. Lift up your hands. So, Father, I thank you for what is required from these. Father, I thank you for strength that will come. I thank you for the ability to say yes to what you require and what you call them to do. Holy Spirit, we thank you for grace and for grace multiplied. And Sabrina, I see the Lord literally giving you a new sound, even in worship. And I see the Lord literally, then in fact, the next, from now until December, in your own personal time with the Lord, the Lord is going to take you on a journey. The Lord is going to encounter you. And you are going to hear a sound come up out of you that's going to shock you. You've been praying for it. You've been crying out to God for it. But it's linked to your obedience. It's linked to that sacrificial place that God is calling you to walk in. But that is actually going to be key in ushering in the new sound and that revival that this house has been preparing for. You are connected to it. You are part of it. And you're going to find yourself playing melodies that when you look back, you'll only say, that is but by the Spirit of God. That is not me. So, Father, I thank you even now for the encounter of the Holy Spirit upon Sabrina's life. May the breath of God come. Jesus. Jesus. And it's flooding your body, it's flooding your heart. It's going to increase. One, two, three. Breath of God. There it is. There it is. Adrian, come here, Adrian. Stay there. Stay there. Don't move, Sabrina and Dante. God is not done with you. Lift up your hands, Adrian. I hear the Lord say, well done, my faithful servant. You've managed well what is required of you. You've made the job easy in the house. Bring your wife, come. And you've purposed your heart to lift up the hands of your leader. And the Lord says, that's come before me as a beautiful fragrance. And the Lord says, in this season, whatever you require of me to do in your family, in your home, in the businesses that you have, the Lord says, I will do it. Lift up your eyes. Because this is the season of the open door, and this is the season of open heaven even over your life. So whatever you are trusting God for, God says, you found favor. And I know it's a common term that we like to throw around, but there comes moments where heaven pronounces that you found favor, like with Mary. Mary says, you found favor with me, and now I give you a son called Jesus, Emmanuel. And the Lord says, you found favor with me, and whatever you require of me to do in this season, I am going to move expeditiously even over your life. Lift up your hands, close your eyes. Father, only you can do it. And we ask you to do it for Adrian. And the Lord says, Adrian, I'm going to give you even more revelation. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you revelation to teach my word. And you'll understand the word in a different dimension than you did before. And the Lord says, fresh revelation is coming upon you. And the Lord says, I'm going to cause your ears to hear what you haven't been able to hear. And I'm going to cause your eyes to see what you haven't been able to see before. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, get ready because I'm releasing weight upon you. And everything is about to change, even at home. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. But I see even for the house that there are moments that God is going to call you to pray. And it started already. But it's going to increase. Because for where God is taking you and what God is requiring of you is going to require strong prayer. And I see a God literally birthing a prayer movement from this house. Interesting. Interesting. You see, sometimes we just think we are doing what we need to do and we're doing what? No. There's a prayer movement. There's a prayer movement that's coming out of this. Because God is about to bring great visibility to this house. You see, when you are digging trenches and when you are laying foundation, your building is not visible. But the moment that skyscraper comes up, it becomes visible. So what's about to happen with this house is that you're about to become a whole lot more visible. Are you with me? And sometimes we have to say goodbye to some things. Jesus says, in the place of transition, Jesus says to the 500, go and wait in Jerusalem. Only 120 made it. 380 didn't make it. Sometimes when you feel like we are losing so much, it's actually God getting ready to multiply you. Because from the 120 came 3,000. From the 3,000 came another 5,000. And this is what God is about to do with you. How many of you are ready to sacrifice? To honor the covenant that God made with this house. How many of you? Because let me tell you something. When you honor covenant, remember I said covenant demands, but covenant also supplies. I live by this principle. I live by this principle. And if you're willing to obey God, if you're willing to obey God, your obedience is going to unlock the next in your life. How many of you are ready to unlock the next in your life? Come on, just lift up your hands. I know time is far spent. I want to pray for you if you are ready to unlock the next in your life. Here's a true story. I was in Durban in 2018. And the man of God was preaching. And I said to a very close friend of mine, I said to him, take your best offering. Send it to your father. I said, because that business, which is in business rescue, will never be sold without you. I said, not only that, that business, you'll have equity and shares in that business. That business was in the news. A prophet guy came, going to parliament. He went to parliament, blah, 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 all of it. He obeyed. I'm not asking you to give an offering, please. I'm showing you a principle that when you obey God, when you obey the instructions of God, God is obligated to meet you. And part of it is to sacrifice. You see, sacrifice and obedience is connected. To obey fully requires you to sacrifice fully. Are you with me? Let us pray. Father, I thank you for every heart, every hand raised, that is ready to sacrifice, to push, to push this ministry to where it needs to go. Father, their obedience, you see it. And Father, I ask on behalf of your people that you fulfill the mandates connected to their obedience. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the last thing I want to say to you. And this I heard as clear as day. Clear as day. I said, Lord, give me book chapter and verse. And he did. It's Joshua chapter 1 and 15. It says, look at this. It says, until the Lord give your brethren rest, as he has given you, and they possess the land your God is giving them, then you shall return to the Lord, to the land of your possessions and possess it. So watch this. Watch this. In other words, we will not rest. Are you hearing me, big church? We will not rest until we possess what God has called us to possess. That is the word of the Lord. If you're going to clap for the Lord, clap for the Lord. Let me read that scripture again. Bring up that scripture again, because you're looking at me like you don't believe me. I know you're tired. I know you're watching in the oven. I know your biryani is waiting for you. Look at that. Until the Lord gives rest to your brothers, as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them, then shall you return. Until the Lord fulfills and gives this vision rest, we will not rest. We will not rest. We will not rest. We will not rest. And Apostle Wilma, lift up your hands. I speak to your spirit. And I speak the audacity to believe God for the impossible. And I declare that the next 6 months of your life will be shaped by this word called audacious. You'll have audacious faith. The audacity to believe God for the best. The audacity to believe God for what he promised you. The audacity to take God's people and let them possess what he promised for them to possess. The audacity to take God at his word and to build what he called you to build in the name of Jesus. I declare the audacity and the audaciousness of heaven, even in your womb, that you will do and be everything that God called you to be. Lift up your hands, prophetess. It's not a lack of faith. It's not a lack of anointing. You've got everything. So the Lord says, woman of God, I'm about to give you a strategy. My God, I'm trying to finish, but it just keeps coming. A strategy over the next 10 years, how to occupy. It's not just going to be one church. It's going to be multiple churches, even in Pretoria. Ramande Bakadebo Shikayamango. The Lord is going to give you strategy. Because I can see you in your previous job, when you still worked for Samsung, and you were always in strategic meetings. So your brain is wired to think strategically. And the Lord says, I will speak to you strategically. I'm not going to speak to you any other way, because I've wired you to be strategic. And you've been concerned with the running around of this and that. And the Lord says, that season is done. I need you now to think strategically how to take this ministry forward. Strategy. The Lord is about to give you strategy. The Lord is about to give you strategy. Strategy, strategy. Divine strategies from heaven. Divine strategies from heaven. My God. My God. Divine. Riaz, come here, Riaz. Sometimes the doings of God and the workings of God is so unconventional. Sometimes in one season, God pulls us back, and it's painful. And it seems like my life is going in reverse. Your life's not going in reverse.
God has been preparing a place for you. But the season has changed again. It's interesting that whenever seasons change, I'm always around. And the season has changed, and you're going to see there are phone calls that are about to come. I can see two or three phone calls that are about to come. They're going to headhunt you. You won't even go for an interview. You won't, etc. And the Lord says, I must tell you, don't downplay. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell yourself short. The Lord says, how you know where you must go is when you give them the ridiculous amount. And the ones who accepted, you go there. Because even for you, while I was praying for prophetess about strategy and strategic things, you also wired strategically, even in business, even when it comes to what you do. And unfortunately, people don't see that. And people only want to see what they want to see. And the Lord says, I remove the veil off of you. This cloak that has clouded you, that has caused you to be overlooked, I come and I remove that cloak off you, and you will be seen. Lift up your hands. The Lord says, I give you a new confidence. I give you a new confidence. And I see you sitting in business meetings in the days to come, even with the organization that you're about to step into. And it's going to be lucrative. And it's like every morning, I see you every morning imagining if that could happen and if that could happen and if that could happen, I would do this and I would do that and I would do that. And the Lord said, it's coming, so get ready. In Jesus' name, amen.